Shocker, what is it about the third period? And the Bruins have been the best third period team all year long. But, man, yeah. you're scoring that many goals and you're just that much better than the Habs in the final frame. What's the reason?
Yeah, we were talking about that, trying to figure out if it has to do as much with Montreal as it does with Boston. And I think it actually has a lot to do with Boston, because I think that the Bruins are a team that they have this kind of confidence that they're not out of games. And so once that comeback train gets going, everybody knows it's going to happen. And like Dougie Hamilton said that after that game, he said, we just know. As soon as we get that first one, we just know. And I got to say, man, like it feels like the crowd knows it. Everybody in the press box knows it. You just know they're coming back. And that's kind of they just ratcheted up to a whole different level and a whole nother gear that they don't seem to get to at any other point in the game. So I think the issue here is Boston's ability to find another gear to execute these comebacks. And now Montreal has to figure out a way to kind of step in front of that moving train. I think it's less about what Montreal's doing and more about what Boston is able to do. And now Montreal's got to figure out how to combat it. And I'm not sure what the answer is. Marty Baron said yesterday, just start icing the puck. If you got to do it four or five times in a row, slow the whole thing down, throw it off kilter.
Rene Bork, not practicing, has the flu. But obviously I'm assuming they expect him to be back in. Or is this year's version of the flu, which in a lot of cases, we saw guys miss 2, 3, or 4 games, so I always wondered if it was actually the flu or if there was another injury at play.
Yeah, no, I think he is sick, and I think that he will be in the lineup. I don't think they're ready to pull him. They got other issues. I mean, I know he hasn't been fantastic. He was better in the first round, but I expect him to be. And the one change we're keeping an eye on is we think that Douglas Murray is going to play instead of Frankie Bouillon. That was what the indication was today at practice. He was skating with Weaver. And so we think there's a chance that change may be made. But Michel Therrien wasn't having any of us speculating on his lineup. He shut us down a bunch of times when we tried asking him about it. But you could see that change potentially. And then if Bork is not ready to go, then you could see both Moen and Weiss in the lineup and Bourneval as well. So I think the back end is where the change might come.
Okay. You know, Carey Price, Tuukka Rask. Carey Price in the third period, you know, he's been dynamite in the first 40. We can say Boston, but does Price have to, you know, is his focus off at all in your mind in those final frames?
Yeah, good question. And I asked that to Biron yesterday. I think that much like the rest of the team, Price kind of follows suit in that maybe they get a little wide-eyed when they see the way Boston's coming at them. The goals have been, we took a closer look at the goals today, and a lot is beating them up high. And I know there's been some talk out of the Boston dressing room about trying to go up high on Price, and that's where he is getting beaten. But one of the areas where he seems to be struggling is when there's traffic in front of him. He's trying to, like, he goes down really low and he looks around, tries to look through it, and he's getting beat up high. And I think the Bruins know that if they get traffic in front of him and shoot high, his natural tendency is to lean down low and look around. And Biron went into depth on that today a little bit. And you really see it when you look at some of the goals. He's kind of guessing at times. So, you know, some people felt like there was some sort of bulletin board material out of the Boston dressing room. I didn't think that at all. I thought the Montreal media made a way bigger deal of that than it needed to be, what Murray Krug and what Dougie Hamilton had said. But I do think that technically that Price, maybe like for a big guy, maybe stand up a little bit more and look over top of the screens. And if you look at some of the goals, he's trying to fight through screens, but he's down low, so he's getting beat up high.
Remind our audience, what did Krug say?
Yeah, so basically what they said was, yeah, we're having success when we get pucks up high on them. And when we get bodies in front of them, we're definitely finding success. And Hamilton said, yeah, that's where we're beating them, is up high. And so basically what happened was some of the Montreal media and some radio guys and basically took that and went to the Canadiens room saying the Bruins feel they've found Carey Price's weakness. They've found his chink in the armor, his weakness. What do you make of that? And it became like this. the Bruins are chirping Carey Price, saying that they've found his weakness, which I went back and scoured through all the quotes, saw it all, everything, and there's nothing there. They said we're having success going up high on him, which they are, but there was no bulletin board material. So this is kind of one of those media contrived deals that we didn't pay too much attention to it today, but it's one of those things, right, where you're in the playoffs, and as young players, you probably got to just be careful what you say and how it could be misconstrued.
Ryan Rashog from TSN joins us. Kirk Muller out in Carolina, not a huge surprise, I don't think, with the new GM in place. John McClain, Dave Lewis also let go. Rod Brindamore, I guess, he'll remain on their coaching staff. They had three assistant coaches. What do you see happening in Carolina? Is Kevin Dineen the obvious fit?
Yeah, I mean, you'd think that he probably is. I don't know what kind of a timeline they're going to be on here. There's some decent names out there. I mean, Barry Trotz is still floating around out there. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up with a job here sooner rather than later. So I'm not 100% certain, but you'd think that Dineen would be the natural fit. There's some history there. He's, I think he's pretty well respected at this point. So, and I wonder too how Muller's going to make out if he'll land on his feet. He was an assistant for a number of years, and I'm not sure if there'll be a head job in his future next year or not.
Do you see John Tortorella getting a job in the NHL this year?
I don't know who touches him. I'm going to say no, because I think he's toxic. Just in terms of just from a PR standpoint, he's pretty toxic. I think that the success hasn't been like it's not like he's this amazing coach that's gotten great results. And despite the fact that he's kind of high maintenance and causes problems, it's worth it because he's such a great coach. The results don't back up the stuff that comes with him. And I know he kind of cleaned up his act a little bit in Vancouver as far as dealing with the media, but, I mean, he showed his true colors a few times there. So what I wonder is how much he wants to. I mean, you know, he's a pretty – you talk to guys who have played for him, and he's kind of a homebody. Like, he loves his dogs, and he does charity work, and he he's a workaholic, but at the same time, I don't know that he's necessarily just all about hockey. So he's going to get paid $8 million over the next however many years here to go fishing. And I wonder how hard he's going to push right off the bat here to go find something else. So I don't know. Maybe it's the kind of thing where he steps away for a year or two and then finds a landing spot.
Looking at Montreal, we talked about, their back end potentially changes there. What about Boston? Do you see anything?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're still in Boston, and we didn't get a chance to see whatever they had going on today. I don't know that they'll make any changes. I think that I think it's fair to say that both games they've probably been the better team. Certainly the first game, and even in the second game, though they were trailing. So I don't see them making much in the way of changes, and in particular on the back end, they're getting healthy on a few fronts. So. We're not sure how far away guys like Kelly are, but they're getting a little bit healthier up front. So I don't think anything is imminent. I think the potential changes are in the Montreal lineup. And to be honest with you, man, Brandon Prust does not look healthy at all. Like he looks banged up. We were watching him at practice today, and just something about the way he's moving around out there doesn't look good. So that could be another adjustment up front for the Habs.
You think Sidney Crosby's banged up in Pittsburgh? To me, it looks like he's maybe got a leg injury. And I'm not thinking he's playing bad just because he hasn't scored goals, but at times normally he's one of the most powerful skaters I see.
Yeah. And maybe, there's been a little frustration in his game too from little bits that I've seen. So maybe that's part of it. He's not able to do the things that he necessarily wants to do. But yeah, I agree. In the bits of the games that we've seen, I think that he looks like he's not fully up to speed and doesn't have the same kind of explosiveness and times he can just dominate down low. So yeah, I think there's probably an injury there. I mean, this time of year, boy, if you can hit the postseason with your better players not hurt, it's a big advantage. But I agree with you. I think he looks dinged up for sure.
And last one, Shogger. PK Subban. Hearing in his agent have asked for $9 million a year. Of course, 8-year max is now asking for that doesn't mean they'll get it. But you look at PK Subban. If they ask for nine, knowing they won't get it, then they can come down to 8.5 or 8.4. And likely be happy. You look at Subban at his age, you know, he'll at the start of next season, he'll be 25. An 8-year deal means it expires when he's 32. Like, that's like the prime years for a defenseman. I think both the Habs and him are in a good situation where he looks and says, well, I can only get 8 years, so the Habs don't have to worry about age factor at all. And the Habs look at this and say, man, this guy's just coming in his prime and he's already pretty good. What do you see as the number? What are you hearing in Montreal?
Well, I think it boils down to what Mark Bergevin feels that kind of money could potentially do to PK Subban at this age. So to hand him $8 million a year or $7.5 million a year, whatever it is, over that length of time, where's his game going to go? What's he going to look like in 2 or 3 years? And is PK Subban the kind of guy who's going to come off his game as the dollar figures get ridiculous like that? And I think that Drew Doughty is an example of a guy who, got some pretty big money and maybe faltered a little bit, but is now pretty consistent year in and year out for the Los Angeles Kings. So, you know, if you're asking me, would I give Subban the money, the big, big money long term? I think I would, from what I've seen from him, the tail end of this year, and what I've seen in the playoffs. I think he's worth it. I think he's dynamic, and there's just not many guys out there like him. But boy, that's going to be, I don't know if it'll be an easy negotiation. I don't think it's just as simple as, 8 years, 7 million or $8 million or $64 million, PK. Like Bergevin, I think, will probably push back a little bit harder than that, and we'll see what happens long term. Yeah. You just hand it to him?
Well, I don't just hand it to him, of course not. But to me, I could see 8 years at $64 million, I could easily see that. Or they might look and say, you know what, we don't want you to make more than Shea Weber, who's making 7.8 as a cap hit. Even though the cap's going up, they could argue that Shea Weber's, you know, what he's proven in his age and his contract, your 8 years is going to be the same. And PK might, you know, he might be okay with that. Like, oh, geez, I'm only making 7.75. I'm not the highest paid defenseman, because there does come way, way more pressure when you're the highest paid defenseman.
Yeah, but. I mean, he's signing this deal in a new cap world. I mean, Shea Weber signed that deal in the old cap world, and in the new cap world, it's as much for an agent's job to project where the cap is going and what deals that'll be signed throughout the life of PK's contract will look like. In other words, where's the cap in 4 years, and what are the best young defensemen in the league signing for at that point, and how does that compare to what they're going to ask for Subban?
Yep, it's true.
So if they get aggressive with that kind of thinking, and who the heck knows what it'll end up looking like.
It's going to be interesting, my man. Shogger, enjoy Montreal. Stay away from the poutine.
Will do, buddy. That's a mistake I made on the first night. Not happening again.